To a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus answering said, Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Lord, teach us the lesson this morning that you'd have us to learn. Help me to be an effective mouthpiece, and pray you'd remove any distractions from our midst this morning. Remove any distractions from my thinking, that I may be clear in speech, and pray the Holy Spirit would take this message and do an eternal work with it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a word here about the Facebook study. That thing has really generated more interest than I ever could have imagined. So Sister Marilyn Nye told me this morning that she gets a special thrill out of watching me on that Facebook because she found out she can do something that a lot of you probably be interested in. She said she could turn that thing on any time, and of course my face is on the screen. She said, all I have to do is take my finger and tap your forehead and you stop talking. That's how you pause it. You just... So I guess that... Try it when you get home. It may bring you a great sense of relief. You may enjoy it. I don't know. But I guess right here, something. Just tap it. And she said, I stopped talking until she taps me again. That doesn't work here, folks. That doesn't work in the sermon here. You won't quite get the same results. But whatever you need to do to keep yourself going, go ahead and do it. But in Luke chapter 17, now normally you might use this passage to preach a message on salvation. Of course, you can do that. These lepers being cleansed could be as a picture of your salvation. But there's one word that came to my heart and mind as I read this passage, and that's the word gratitude. I want to give you some things about gratitude this morning. Folks, you may not realize the depth of how God has blessed you, but if you'll stop and look at the good things he's given you in this life, you'll have to say amen to the fact that we are blessed people indeed. Amen. This here, if it teaches nothing else, what I've just read to you teaches that the human heart is by nature unthankful. You had 10 men who were cleansed here. Only one of them came back to give the Lord thanks. This is a society where a good many people are, in their thinking, entitled to everything they have. And if they don't have it, they're entitled to what you have. It's a day of entitlement. I deserve this and I deserve that. That's the thinking in many parts of our world. The truth of the matter, however, is anything you get besides hell is a blessing. The only thing you've really earned, the only thing I've really earned, is death and hell because of our sin. So anything beyond hell is something I didn't deserve. Now you have 10 men here who were not just healed in the sense you think of being healed. You get over the flu, get over the common cold. These men were given their lives back. These men, the Lord did more than just do a favor for them one day. He gave them their lives back. They could go home to their families. Can't you imagine those 10 men going home that night for the first time, being able to wrap their arms around their wives, being able to bring and hug their children close to them, be able to sleep in the same home as their family for the first time in months and years? God had given them their life back, and yet 90% of them didn't even turn around to say thank you. That's the majority. Now, it would have been tragic enough if one had gone his way without returning to thank God, but 9 of 10 of these men never even turned around to say thank you to the man who had just given their lives back. Let's walk through this passage verse by verse and ask the Lord to show us some things about gratitude. Look at verse 11 again. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Notice the lesson here. The object of our gratitude, and get this, folks, the object of our gratitude must primarily be for who the Lord is, not primarily for what he can do. Now, you see that in this passage. Notice verses 13. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. What was their next word? Master. See what they were doing? They were exalting his name even before they had been cleansed. They recognized something about the Lord. With all their failures, they recognized something. Whether he heals us or not, he's still the master. And somehow in Christians' thinking, we've gone wrong when we confine our gratitude to only those things which he does for us that we deem to be good things. The primary object of our gratitude, folks, ought to be for the Lord himself, to the giver and not to the gifts. Amen. You realize the Lord is to be thanked even when he allows things to come into your life that you don't classify as a good thing? Amen? Amen. See, there's a problem with just being thankful for when God does something good or something that you deem to be good. There's a problem there. What if God stops doing things in your life that you deem good and comfortable? What if he gives you some hard things to deal with? What if the Lord sends sickness your way? What if the Lord allows a loved one to be taken from you in death? Are we going to stop being grateful? You see, the primary object of our gratitude is the Lord himself. Are we to be thankful for what he does? Certainly. Yes, we are. But that should be secondary. Before they even had the promise of being cleansed, in verse 13, they said, Jesus, that was his earthly name. But then they said, Master, have mercy on us. I want you to see this for yourself in the book of Psalms, if you'll turn there. Look at Psalm 136. The point in gratitude is, I'm to be thankful, I'm to be grateful for who my God is, first of all, and then I'm to be thankful for what he does. Psalm 136, look at what the scripture tells us concerning this issue of being grateful and being thankful. Psalm 136, look at verse number 1. Psalm 136, verse number 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Why are we to be thankful in verse 1? Notice again, O give thanks unto the Lord, not... It doesn't say because he does good or because he blesses. This verse says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Amen. You see, the reason for our gratitude in this verse is not for anything the Lord can do for us, but primarily I'm to be thankful for who the Lord is. That's the basis of my gratitude. Do you know the Bible spells this out clearly in Hebrews chapter 11? Listen to me. Verse number 6, the Bible said, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe. Notice, if you want to please God, you got two things. Him that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is. And number two, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Did you see the order? Yep. Number one, I please the Lord by believing that, number one, he is. Amen. Amen. Number one. Number one, I'm to please the Lord, I must believe what the Bible says about him. And then I'm to believe that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Amen. Do you see the order there again, folks? Amen. Be grateful to God for being God. Right. When's the last time you sincerely from your heart praise the Lord, not for just what he does for you, but when have you praised the Lord for being who he is? Many Christians don't practice that because, sadly, they don't know enough about God's Word to know really who he is. Right. Now, I thank the Lord that I know him as my Savior, but that's just where it starts. After you're saved, after you know Christ your Savior, do you know there's much more this book says about him than just the fact that he came to save sinners? You realize this book tells you that he's all-knowing, and he's all-wise, and he is love, and he's gracious, and he's righteous. All those things are things that are true about God. So when you come to give God thanks, I hope you thank him for the good things. But I hope primarily you're thankful for who he is. Because I'll tell you, folks, the day may come, you may get a phone call. You may get a bad report from the doctor. You may go home and find your home burned to the ground. You may go home and find a loved one has died. God forbid those things should happen. But the point is here, if those things are your basis for gratitude, what's going to happen if God should take them? But shouldn't we primarily thank God for who he is? Because that doesn't change. Who he is still the same today, yesterday, and forever. So go back to Luke chapter 17. I want to make that clear. First of all, when we think about being grateful to God, we're to be grateful for who he is. Just for the fact that he is God. And what a God he is. You can't compare him with anybody. He's the incomprehensible God. If you think this Bible tells you all there is to know about God, you're very naive indeed. This Bible does not tell us all there is to know about God. Didn't John himself say that if books were written that told all that Jesus Christ did during his earthly ministry, didn't John say, I suppose the world itself couldn't contain the books? Now this Bible tells me enough about the Lord to know how to know him as my Savior and to please him. I believe with all my heart, eternity is going to be a continual unfolding of God's nature, learning more of him all through eternity. I think of it like a flower. Have you ever watched a flower open for the first time? And the whole flower is there enclosed. You can just see the outside, and it's beautiful on the outside, but as it starts opening, you find out that the colors get deeper and fuller. And as it continues to open, it's more beautiful, more spectacular. Now, all that was there before the thing opened. You just couldn't realize it. As much as I know about the Lord here, I'm thankful for the God he is. But eternity is going to be about me understanding the fullness of his nature, enjoying him more as I learn more about him. Maybe that's hard for you to grasp, but I hope you'll ask the Lord to help you see the point. When you think about being grateful, don't just thank the Lord for his actions. Thank him for who he is first. Now go back to the text here and see what else the Lord teaches us in this lesson. Back here in chapter 17, look in verse number 13. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them first, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, notice the phrase, when he, what's the word? Saw. Now, can you picture this in your mind? These 10 men are on their way to the priest. I'm sure they weren't just gradually strolling along. I'm sure they were going at it, brother. Get to this priest. And the reason they had to go to the priest is because they were still living under the law in this day. And the only way you could be cleansed or received back into society was to have an official priest officially declare you to be unclean. So they had to go right to that priest. Notice what the Lord was doing. He made sure that they kept to the law. The Lord did not break the law one time while he was here. That's why he said, you go show yourself to the priest. But notice them now. Here they go. 10 of them are on their way. And this one Samaritan, as he's on his way, something happens and he stops to look at himself. Do you see it? Did you see the verse? Look at it again, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. I don't know how it came about. Maybe he just looked down and he caught a glance of the back of his hand. And the skin was made whole again. Or maybe he looked down through his sandals and he saw his toes and his feet. And they weren't bloodied and worn away. Maybe one of his wrappings came loose from his forearm and he saw the skin was like a child's. I don't know how it happened, but at some point when he turned around and when he got to that priest, he stopped and took inventory of the fact he had been cleansed. Now, do you know why many of God's people aren't thankful? Real simple. We don't stop often enough and look at what God's done for us. Amen. We get up, we get ready, we take off, we live our day, we come back, we go to bed, we get up, we take off, and very few times in the day do we stop and take inventory of how good God is. For instance, didn't most of you, as far as I know, all of you, get into some sort of automobile to get here this morning? I bet you probably 90% of us, before we got into the car, didn't stop and say, I'm thankful I have a car to get into. You're thinking, of course, that's common. We get in the car, we go here, that's my point. We begin to take God's blessings for granted. Amen. I wonder how many of us stopped this morning when our foot touched the floor and we were able to stand up. Did you take a sober look at that and say, I'm thankful I have legs I can stand on? You see why we're not more thankful, folks? We don't stop long enough to see what God has done for us. We rush and we go and we here and there. And I'll tell you something I've learned about the devil. If he can do it, he'll cause you to be so preoccupied with what you don't have, he'll take your mind off of what you do have.
Amen.
The devil, he works on the mind. And if he can do it, he'll keep you so pressed down and discouraged about everything that you don't have that you think you ought to have.
Amen.
Remember that lady that came in the Old Testament to the prophet Elisha? She couldn't pay her bills, never going to take her son away from her. Pretty dire situation, huh, ladies? Wouldn't that be a tragic situation? Her husband had died, couldn't pay her bills, now they're going to take her son. And Elisha, the man of God, says to her, what do you have in your house? She said, nothing. And then, oh, wait a minute, she thought, I have one pot of oil. But what's a little pot of oil? You know what the Lord did? He multiplied that lady's pot of oil, and she sold it miraculously and had enough money to pay the debt off. But you know what that woman had to be reminded of? She had to be reminded that she did have a pot of oil. When she first came to Elisha, all she could think about was the money she didn't have and the resources she didn't have. But the man of God confronted her and said, what do you have in the house? And folks, if you want to be a casualty to the devil, what I do, I'll give you some good advice. If you want to lose your joy as a Christian, just sit home and soak and sour away. Thinking of what you don't have or what you're not allowed to do or what you think people should think of you that they don't think of you. Just go right ahead and he'll keep you company all the way down that road.
Amen.
But if you want a blessing, stop and say, Lord, I do have some things. I have the forgiveness of sins. I have the Holy Spirit living within me. I have God's word to read. Perhaps I got a lesson in gratitude unlike I'd ever had. And I know, Robert, you may remember this fellow. When we first began our nursing home ministry at Kingston, there was a fellow there named Eugene. Remember old Eugene? He was a relatively young man, I think probably in his 40s, maybe early 50s. And it was a tragic situation how he got there. His wife had left him, and it was just a tragic situation. But he always wore a hat that said, I love Jesus. That was on his hat. He wore his hat all the time. And in one of the studies at Kingston there, I don't know how it came up, but we began to ask some of the residents what they were thankful for. And Eugene said this. He said, I'm thankful God gave me glasses so I can read the Bible.
Amen.
You ever thank the Lord for having glasses? You say, well, I wish I didn't have to wear glasses. Yeah, but aren't you glad you have them to wear? You see what the devil will do? You see, he'll get you lamenting the fact that you have to wear them in the first place. When what we ought to do is say, well, Lord, I'm thankful I have them to wear. You see, and I saw that man thankful for his glasses so he could read his Bible. What a lesson in gratitude. Back to Luke 17 here, this man, this one man, he stopped and he surveyed what God had done for him. And that's when he, as the Bible says here, verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I want to encourage you to do this today. Ask God to remind you of your blessings. Ask God to remind you. I'll tell you what it'll do for you, folks. It'll change your day. As you get into that car and drive home, you'll thank God for the strength to get in a car anywhere. When you pull it in the driveway, you'll thank God for getting you there without an accident. When you have your meal at lunch today, you'll thank God to give you food. You see what I mean? Unlock the door in your house, thank God you have a house to come home to. You see how much you have to be thankful for? But if you aren't thankful, it's just because you're not looking. You're not at taking an inventory. You've heard the illustration. It's like down where I'm from, you know. Have you ever seen a hog under an acorn tree, under an oak tree? Have you ever seen a hog under an oak tree? Well, you haven't lived till you've seen a hog under an oak tree. Those hogs will eat those acorns on the ground. They'll just keep eating and eating and eating. And they never one time they ever look up and see where they're coming from. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't we like that? We enjoy the goodness of God all day, enjoy His sunshine, enjoy the health we have, enjoy our family, the salvation we have. We have a church to come to, and we never stop up and look where all the blessings are coming from. And the book of James says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Why don't you stop sometime today and just look up? Say, every good thing I have comes from up there. It'll change your day, folks. It'll turn your sorrow into singing. Now, back to the text here, and I'm finished. Look at the Lord's reaction. Back in Luke 17, verse number 16, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, the Lord didn't have to include that, but he wanted us to know the nationality of that man. That man, you see, a Samaritan, was sort of an outcast among all people. He was sort of a second-class citizen. He wasn't really a Gentile. He wasn't really a Jew. He was sort of a hybrid. Why did the Lord take the pains to tell us that this was a Samaritan who gave him thanks? I'll tell you why. He's trying to show us that us outcasts ought to be real good at thanking God for His blessings. If anybody ought to thank God, shouldn't it be us? Shouldn't it be us who were strangers and pilgrims in this world? But here's the lesson. Verse number 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Here's the lesson, and don't forget it. Our Lord expects our gratitude, and He knows when He doesn't get it. Notice, He's looking for it, wasn't He? Wasn't He looking for their gratitude? Now, folks, let's be honest here. I mean, this is the way it is in the South. I don't know how you folks are. But when you let somebody out in traffic, don't you look and see if they're going to say thank you?
Yeah, you do.
Don't you look for that? Some of you never let anybody out, so you know what I'm talking about. You'd never do it. You don't know what I'm talking about. Well, for those of us who have enough grace to give somebody a break, we look, don't we? Now, if we as sinful humans who don't deserve anything, if we expect gratitude by letting somebody out in traffic, shouldn't God, who gave His own life for us, shouldn't He have a right to expect our gratitude? I mean, is He so wrong to look down upon the sons of men and desire their gratitude? Is it asking too much? No, it's not asking too much. I'll tell you what, He knows when He doesn't get it. The truth of it is, you may forget how good God has been to you, but He hasn't. He knew how many men He had cleansed. He didn't have to ask anybody, how many men did I cleanse? He said here, were there not 10? He knew I cleansed 10 men, and I'm looking for gratitude from 10 men. But He didn't get it. The truth is, you may have forgotten some of God's blessings, but He has not forgotten how much He has blessed your life. And He's looking for your gratitude. So what we need to do is some way, somehow, ask God to bring his blessings to our remembrance.
Amen.
Lord, don't let me forget how good you've been to me. Maybe you say, I've got a poor memory. Write them down. We make prayer lists here all the time. Make a praise list. Again, whatever you have to do, ask God to remind you of the goodness of God on your life. He expects it, folks, and he knows when he's not getting it. Look in Psalm 100, and this is the last place I'll ask you to turn. Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. He was waiting for it. He was expecting it. Psalm 100. Verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are whose people?
His
people. And the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. You see here, God is commanding our gratitude. He is not suggesting, he's telling us in his word very clearly, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. There's something about a truly thankful heart that men appreciate. And if men can appreciate it, how much more does God appreciate it? Isn't it a joy to do something for someone when you know that person is sincerely grateful for it? Doesn't it leave a bad taste in your mouth when you sacrificially do something for someone and there seems to be no gratitude at all, no acknowledgement that anything's been done? Doesn't it sort of sting your heart a little? I mean, amen, let's just be practical. I'm a firm believer in thank you cards. I'm not tooting my own horn, but who here has ever gotten a thank you card from me? You know why that's important to me? You know why that's important, folks? Because I don't take your kindness for granted. I don't take it for granted. I've never gotten over true gratitude. A lot of things I'm not, but I am thankful. Don't you appreciate someone being grateful? How much more does the Lord appreciate gratitude? He's looking for it. He expects it. Let me say this. He has a right to expect it. It's not a proud thing. It's not a conceited thing at all for God to demand our gratitude. He has a right to it. And he knows when you've given him thanks, and he knows when you haven't. He hasn't forgotten how good he's been to you. I want to give you this, and I'm finished. Back in Luke 17, notice the ratio. And there, in Jesus answering, said, were there not 10 cleansed? Here's the question, but where are the 9? Pretty sad ratio, isn't it? 9 to 1. 9 unthankful, 1 thankful. You know what the lesson there is? Here's the lesson, and it may sting you, but it's the truth. Most of God's people aren't thankful.
Amen.
That's the ratio, isn't it? That's the overwhelming majority. So I'll say it. I'm just echoing what the Bible's already said. The majority of folks in this room aren't thankful.
That's right.
Let's just be honest about it.
Amen.
With a 9 to 1 ratio, what does that tell you? Most of God's people aren't as thankful as they ought to be. Now, if you're in the category, if you are, thank the Lord for it. Maybe you truly are thankful and you show God your gratitude. Praise the Lord for it. But the numbers say something else. The numbers say most of us just aren't thankful enough. Are you thankful? Do you thank God for the food you eat? Thank God for the air you breathe? You know, the lost man doesn't see it this way, but even a lost man has a lot to thank God for. You know, you can get a farmer out there, a farmer that doesn't believe there even is a God. You know who gives that farmer his rain and his sunshine to make a living with? It comes from the Lord, doesn't it? All men have a debt of gratitude to the Lord. Now that's the message. That's what's on my heart. I hope you're not in that majority. I hope you're thankful enough. But if you're not thankful enough to God as you should be, I'll tell you your trouble. It's not because you're a wicked person. And it's not because you intentionally deny God what's due him. Your trouble is you just haven't stopped long enough to count your many blessings. And you've gotten so preoccupied and so busy. Or maybe you've gotten so consumed with thinking about everything you don't have. Maybe you just need to say, God, show me what I already have. You'll find you've been blessed. Let's pray together.